You're listening to Real Crime, the Movie Sleuth Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Back again with episode I don't know what.
And 11. This
is it 11?
Yeah, it's 11.
Oh, we've got 11 episodes.
11 episodes. Yeah. We're sorry that we haven't been around the last couple of weeks. I think the first week, a bunch of us were sick. And then this past week, I don't know what happened.
I'll take the blame for that one.
Okay. Well, I was pooping for a
what
couple weeks,
too.
What
the fuck did you do, Scott? How'd you fuck this up for everybody?
Sunday night last week, I realized I had tickets to see Iron Maiden Tuesday night. And I don't know why, and I'm usually way better about that, but I totally forgot about that. And I immediately got a hold of Chris, who instructed me to come over here right at that moment and take my lashings.
Yes.
So I did. My ass, I'm actually standing right now as we do this show. I haven't been able to sit since then.
You're going to be standing for a month, pal.
But it was worth it because Maiden ruled. Maiden was awesome.
Well, good. All right. Well, we're back. Sorry for the two-week hiatus there, but we had pretty legitimate reasons, I guess, for not being there. But we're very, very sorry. I'm Jesse. We're here with Chris George, Chris Jordan, and Scott Lambert.
Yes.
And today we're talking about how criticism and film criticism has changed due to different social avenues and different websites and stuff like that over the years.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of have an idea we're going to go with this thing, but when Chris mentioned this idea to me, and I've cited this film already on this podcast, but I think it's a really cool thing. If you haven't seen it, I think, including the people in this studio right now, the Heckler documentary, it's called Heckler by Jamie Kennedy. I think I mentioned this. This is a real testament, I think, and I'm sorry to be redundant again, but it really takes it home with what I think we'll be talking about tonight. And, you know, because I know the term heckler, you know, you automatically get this thing in your head of, well, hey, fuck you, whatever, somebody in a crowd. But it has a lot more different forms than that. And it does, and I'm convinced now, especially since I saw that documentary, that heckling has all different forms. And mainly it is in criticism. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about here, is that idea.
Yeah.
I would like to bring up, don't miss Chris Jordan's, I guess it would be a review, right, on Serpent and the Rainbow?
Yes.
Did that just go up?
Yeah, it just went up.
Okay.
And it very much deals with this and how, the critical sort of
how
savaging
received,
that movie
yeah,
received when it came out, out, yeah, affected that movie's reputation for
I
years.
I was able to read some of it before coming in here because I think you... I think it was published like on my way here. I'm not really sure, but I read like a half of it or something in the truck while I was waiting.
At a red light.
Yeah. it's very good. So please go read Chris's Serpent in the Rainbow review.
Thank you.
Sort of.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, retrospective, I guess, if you will.
What a great movie.
Fantastic movie.
Love that movie.
So, okay. Rotten Tomatoes is what we wanted to talk about.
Yep.
And I guess I think we should point out, too, that I don't think any of this discussion is to really, like, throw a dagger at any of these people. It's just talking about these ideas and why this stuff happens, why we see what we see now. You know, I know it's kind of open-ended, but you'll get the point here in a few minutes, I think. So, go ahead, Jesse.
I respect Rotten Tomatoes and anybody that puts up the website and able to, obviously... spread the word about film and get people involved in loving film and all that. I love Rotten Tomatoes as a website. I think it's a very cool place to go.
Yeah.
IMDb as well. There's a lot of places. So we have all these places that we can visit and get feedback from films and talk with each other and share opinions. And it's blown up very big over the last couple of decades as far as... outlets for exchanging opinions and criticizing and all that. And it's interesting to see how it's changed our outlook on films.
I think people sometimes enjoy more of the reviews and this type of commentary than the actual films themselves. I've noticed that. And I won't lie I've done, I've done that. I've been like, well, I wouldn't saw a movie and said, boy, I noticed this. But my compass is more of, I noticed this about a movie that somehow didn't settle right with me. Mm-hmm. And I go to a place like Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb to see if my gauge is correct. And a lot, you know, oh yeah, you know what? They said the same thing. That's pretty cool. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Some type of constructive criticism. But I think what I see, especially nowadays, like especially the last few years, is that this stuff is just getting fucking vicious. I mean, I don't know any nice way to say it. It's just mm-hmm. fucking vicious out there sometimes.
Go ahead. It looks like you were about to say something, Chris.
Yeah, no, that's like ripping apart movies. Well, a certain type of movie anyway has definitely become a big internet pastime. But it's usually the things with the things that have big followings, people love to just rip into. And there's this odd thing where like things with series with big fandoms, especially like we saw with Batman Superman, mm-hmm. we see every year with
Star Wars.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. Star Wars or all those seasons of Doctor Who, where it's just like, for all the people who say that they're fans of the series, most of what you see on message boards is just people talking about like, oh, this is the worst this series has ever been until the next entry, and now this one's the worst that it's ever been. And yeah, that's
as far as the websites go, as far as accomplished critics, I guess you could say, or even bloggers, I don't know about you guys, but I actually don't read any of it. I don't read any movie reviews outside of our own website. I don't go to I'll peruse Rotten Tomatoes, and I'll just see, you know, the rotten splatter or the you know, the tomato, the fresh tomato, and I'll read the little blurb, but that's about it. I don't really get into it. I don't go and seek out the reviews and stuff like that. And once I see them, I just kind of see the overall reception of things. The only things I really like dive deep into are video game reviews, but that's a whole other topic. But
that is a whole other topic.
Yeah, but as far as movies go, I honestly really do not care about what the vast majority of critics think. And I think it's funny that a lot of people tend to say that same thing that I just said until the vast majority of critics agree with them. And then they're like, yeah, see, I'm right and you're wrong. And then it becomes this black and white thing. And maybe Rotten Tomatoes doesn't necessarily promote that, but it definitely it definitely strengthens the idea that you can say that about a film, that it's either absolute trash or it's amazing, and it can't be in between.
Yeah.
What I really noticed, okay, again, bringing up Batman versus Superman, and the same thing kind of happened with Star Wars, too, where Star Wars was, like, very positively impacted by that Rotten Tomatoes score.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, more people came out and said they didn't like it. So that score really doesn't mean that much on Rotten Tomatoes.
And then
same thing with Batman... No,
oh, that's beautiful, Sky.
I did not mean to do. I'm so sorry.
You
so
are sorry.
Fucking sorry. Okay, keep going.
But,
sorry.
Yeah, I'll keep going, bitch.
you just keep standing there.
You just keep standing.
My legs
there,
are
Scott.
Getting tired, Chris.
Take your lashing, slut. But same thing with the reverse. What happened with Batman versus Superman, where everybody just decided, oh, Rotten Tomatoes said it sucked, so it sucks. And the system is completely skewed to convincing you that this Rotten Tomato or this fresh tomato is the absolute, when really it isn't. You know,
that's too much work, though.
Yeah,
it's too much thinking.
I mean, back in the 70s and 80s and the 90s, we had the Siskel and Ebert thing,
mm-hmm.
where you got your two thumbs up, two thumbs down, thumbs up, thumbs down, whatnot. You got two guys sitting there talking about this thing. And it was a little more convincing because those people actually had personalities that you could connect with. And you started to learn, and you could see which way these guys were going to go mm-hmm. with the kinds of movies they saw. You know, you knew they were going to hate horror movies. You knew they were going to hate like romantic comedies mm-hmm. and, you know, like teen sex romps and shit like that. With Rotten Tomatoes, it's like totally different. It's just like yay or nay. and yeah. people
and that's
on
for
the
every
internet.
Single movie
and,
out
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
type
it's
of,
really weird
type of movie.
It makes it too easy, I think, for people to back themselves into a corner or be far too black and white about things. People decide, okay, I didn't like the movie. Now there's nothing good about it.
Yeah.
Or I loved the movie. There's nothing bad about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really hard to find someone or to have an open discussion with somebody that that can see a film regardless of what it is, flaws intact and all, whether they like it or not, mm-hmm. and they can have a good, fulfilling, satisfying, creative, enlightening discussion about a film that doesn't
right.
really. I haven't seen it happening as much as I like.
Yeah, and Rotten Tomatoes makes it very easy to home in on the reviews that are going to support your feeling about it.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I had a conversation about Batman Superman with one of my friends on Facebook, and I was saying why I enjoyed it, and he's like, no, you're wrong to have enjoyed it, and started linking me articles to bad reviews. Like, you know what? I had fun with it. I'm not trying to make it personal. And then, like, 4 days later, he came back to my wall and linked more bad reviews about it. Like, see? Like, no, I still like it like I did 4
right.
days ago.
It's a really bizarre infatuation that someone can not quit. Like, they just keep going with it over something they don't like.
And it
would be funny if it was I kind of get it with, like, politics in a way. It's somebody that it's a politician you don't like and you feel impassioned that they're going to ruin the country or you know, support the country and whatever, but it's a movie.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
really not that serious.
It comes down to entertainment,
right?
That's really what it is. I mean a good experience I just had just yesterday, as a matter of fact. I watched that movie Shelter, the Paul Bettany film,
okay,
mm-hmm. with Jennifer Connelly yesterday. It looked interesting, and I watched it.
Did she get naked?
Oh God, yeah. Well, Jennifer, that poor girl. Every single movie I've seen her in, she's just getting fucking fucked
it.
Up in so many different ways.
She likes it though.
But fantastic
yeah,
movie.
She should.
I thought the movie was great. I mean,
you're a bad person, Chris.
Jesus. I hate Jennifer Connelly. I want to see her tortured in every movie she's in. Right, Chris?
Ass to ass.
Ass to ass. That's all I did. That was the problem yesterday.
We're really going there.
I'm trying to watch this movie with like fresh eyes, and that's all I can keep hearing is that creepy asshole going ass to ass. That point aside, I enjoyed the film. I really liked it. I thought, you know, like we're talking about, I thought there was a couple of weak points here and there. But all in all, it was a great movie. And, you know, I could talk about it and say, yeah, it was fun. There was this and there was that. And I did, ironically enough, last night, go on Rotten Tomatoes. I was just curious to see what the thoughts were on this thing. And, of course, they were shitting all over it. You know, but there was a trend I saw. They said, you know, the acting was great. Jennifer Connelly was really great. The other supporting actors were fine. I can't remember their names right now.
Mm-hmm.
They said, but Paul Bettany's writing was terrible. He actually directed and wrote the film.
Oh,
they said
okay.
his writing,
huh. All right.
And that was a trend I saw, was that the writing wasn't very good. And okay, fine. I can kind of see part of that. But literally, it was just, you know, the splatter.
Right.
It was just, I'm like, this is a very broad movie. It was a very good drama. It was a good story without having to have that much flash.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my favorite kind of movies, are the movies that can just tell you a great convincing story and there's an amazing plot there without having to blow your mind and make your eyes pop out of your head with special effects, right? So I appreciate it from that standpoint. But that was a Rotten Tomatoes thing. And I mean, I'm sitting there looking at that going, man, do I just have shitty taste in movies? Because all these people are saying that it sucks. And that's when you're starting to question your own compass when it comes to liking something. That's just bad right there, because we just said that. It's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you like, the four of us down here could watch that movie and all have different opinions. But I think the big difference is that the four of us could do a show on it probably and say and have a really interesting conversation about what we did and didn't like about the film and kind of get a consensus on that, right? That's the difference, I think, right there, besides the yes or no type thing. That's what you do when you test people on things in trade school. That shouldn't be a part of entertainment, in my opinion.
Well, I think Rotten Tomatoes, I think of it as having sort of an odd, like, there's a way in which it's really useful and a way it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the aggregate, like, the percentage that they put at the top of a Rotten Tomatoes page. It's like what percentage of reviews are favorable versus not favorable.
Yeah,
favorable.
Yeah.
That is always really interesting to me, especially seeing that and then seeing the IMDb user score. Mm-hmm. But on a review-to-review basis on Rotten Tomatoes, like just boiling everything down to just rotten or fresh, and they don't show you, like, okay, how many stars did this get? Because, like, you know, like, 3 out of 5 is very, very different from, you know, like, 1 out of 5.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like, if you give something, like, okay, this got 2.5 stars, you're not actually giving it a bad review.
You're
because
giving it a mediocre review.
Yeah, but that's going to fall into rotten. And so, yeah, like, you'll see reviews on there that are, like, yeah, like, rotten, and then you read the review, and it'll say stuff like what you said, like, okay, yeah, poorly written movie, but there's this and this and this that was really good about it.
There's a lot of great stuff about it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like,
I picked it out. It's a Netflix movie, and I picked it out solely because it had 4 out of 5 stars. I'm like, well, this is a cool drama. I like this kind of stuff. 4 out of 5 stars. Mm-hmm. These people aren't idiots watching these movies. I mean, this is so there is that difference right there. Even the Netflix scale, which I don't take all that seriously, but I'm like, well, that looks pretty cool. And then you go to Rotten Tomatoes, and boom.
Yeah,
people are shitting all over
that Netflix scale. I don't know how, like, what kind of algorithm they got going for that Netflix scale, but it makes no sense at all.
Explain.
It's almost never, from what I understand about the Netflix star rating, is they sort of pull a lot of data from what you watch and what you rate, and they kind of guess how you would score it.
But you can rate it, though, too.
Yeah, that's weird.
Right, of course. So if we were to look at your Netflix right now, if we were to pull up Chris's Netflix and put it on the computer screen and look at the star ratings for any movie, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yours might say Sicario, for the fuck of it, is 2 stars.
Yeah.
You liked Sicario, right?
Yeah, I thought it was okay.
Okay.
I don't think it was that great.
Right.
But, yeah, it was okay.
So I loved it. I really liked Sicario a lot. It might show 0.5 star for me. Mm-hmm. Like, it would guess that I would not like this
movie
for some
reason.
I don't know why, but it's so wrong most of the time. It's probably unrelated, but it's funny how it's so incredibly wrong.
Oh yeah, but even based on, I mean, the star scale, I mean, it's that for that movie I'm talking about, for this movie Shelter. I mean, according to them, the initial star rating, it's a pretty good flick.
Mm-hmm.
It's a highly, it's, you know, it's above average. But Rotten Tomatoes, oh no, this is bullshit.
Right.
Yeah, that's another
total
thing
bullshit.
Too, is with Rotten Tomatoes, if a movie is just okay, like Chris J was saying, that usually falls into rotten territory. And I thought Batman vs. Superman was a little above okay.
Yeah.
And that's another thing with even, in my opinion, it's probably even worse in the video game culture, is the majority of websites, video game websites, they score games generally on a 7 to 10 scale. Mm. Anything below 7 is considered trash. It's the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
And in movies, it's a little bit more forgiving than that, as it should. But as people have come to understand it, 5 out of 10 is a bad movie. It's terrible. For me, a 5 out of 10 is just mediocre. It's just okay, and that's it.
Yeah.
But I don't know how this happened. It must be inspired by our culture of hyperbole, but anything below a 7 is like, you just don't even fucking bother with that garbage. It's just shit.
That doesn't make any sense to me, because a lot of movies that I enjoy, I will give them, let's say, a 6.
Right.
When I give it a 6, it's not that I don't like the movie, but I'm weighing it against everything else that I score too. So I take all of that into account and decide on what kind of score do I give this thing.
Same here.
Is it The Godfather or is it Howard the Duck?
Well, yeah, if anything below 7 isn't good anymore, that gives you no way to differentiate good movies. You have like 3 steps to group all good movies into, and then 7 different varieties of bad. That doesn't work.
Right.
Might as well just change the whole scale now. Get rid of anything below 7. Don't waste your time.
By the way, if you are listening obviously, you are listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening very much. We do appreciate it. For those who are listening, at the Movie Sleuth, we use the whole scale. We really do. We commit to using the whole scale, and it means something to us. And we have if you look at our ratings link on our website, every number means something. It means something very particular, and we take that very seriously. So just so you know, if you do see our bullet score at the end of a film review, know that we put a lot of thought into it. It's not just some dumb thing we slap on there. It's not a 7 to 10 scale. We really try to think about it anyway.
And try to weigh it all out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and from a review standpoint, and I know I've mentioned this and I've talked to you about this, Chris, and I may have mentioned it even on this podcast. I've had to watch some movies that I know the average reviewer, and I don't think I'm really the average reviewer, the average reviewer would literally probably turn it off 15 minutes in and say, I don't need to see any more of this. I'm not wasting any more time with this shit. I am just going to slam this thing with a sledgehammer and be done with it, right?
Yeah.
But I prefer to even sit through that stuff. I want to see all that. And I've even given those type of movies 2 watches. Mm-hmm. Just because I want to learn and see, okay, well, yeah, on the surface, this isn't, it don't look that great. Don't sound that great. Fine. But is there something happening here? Is there some mojo? Is there a great story in this? Is there something, is there a nuance here that this director did that maybe I need to pick up on, right? That's the stuff that I want to understand out of film, and I'm going to base a rating on that, not just, well, you know, the acting wasn't that great, so fuck this movie.
Right.
Yeah. It's only one piece of the pie, man. There's a lot more to it than that.
Yeah, and I think that's the problem that a lot of movies run into, I think, especially when they first come out. I think, well, like we're seeing with a lot of, you know, like you said about Star Wars or Batman, you sort of, as a movie is out longer, it sort of equalizes as you get more mm-hmm. honest, more nuanced reviews. But yeah, like a lot of early reviews, that's a big problem, is they'll just like smash it apart for very particular reasons and disregard a bunch of the other stuff, or just praise it heavily and not look at flaws. I think when a movie first comes out, a lot of people are very, very quick to jump to conclusions.
Well, and they're vicious. People are vicious about some of this stuff. I mean,
like disturbing levels of viciousness.
Like disturbing levels. Like, you do not deserve to have somebody going on your Facebook page 4 times in a week berating you because you liked a movie that they didn't. So they're going to keep posting mm-hmm. reviews of movie reviews of a movie they hated on your Facebook page. That's like borderline psychotic harassment. Seriously.
Well, you're taking yourself too seriously right off the bat. Like, mm-hmm. it's a fucking opinion.
It's a movie.
Yep.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, I've been guilty of it with some of those screeners in some of the movies that I've seen where they're unforgivable. Like that last Divergent movie, I gave it a terrible review. And I actually had a couple of people message me, well, is it really that bad? And I'm like, to be honest with you, yes. Because if it wasn't that bad, I wouldn't have given it that score. Everything about the movie is dismal. When you've got Jeff Daniels and you can't pull the movie together, and everything about the movie is horrendous, and that's why I scored it that way. You have to be honest.
Yeah.
But you know, some of this shit just goes too far.
I haven't read much into the, I guess you could say, philosophy of film criticism and all that. I haven't read any books or researched anything on how to critique films or what to look for and stuff like that. But I imagine every critic is a little bit different. They have certain criteria in their head that they go by. For me, I start a movie at a 10 out of 10. Mm-hmm. When I go into a movie, I start it at a 10 and I work my way down. You know what with stuff like, for example, Batman vs Superman. Let's just say Batman's suit, let's say, doesn't look like the suit that I love or whatever from the comic books. That's not a point that I'm going to take away from it. If an actor's entire performance is bad, like from beginning to end, that'll be a point I take away from it. Mm-hmm. If it's a poor performance that I don't really connect with, but I don't think it's bad per se, that's something I'll ignore too.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of factors that go into it, and I think some people, I don't really know, maybe it's true or it isn't, I don't really know. But I think maybe people start at zero and they work their way up, and that's probably
it's not the way to do it.
I don't know. Maybe it is. Maybe it isn't. But I try to give a film the benefit of the doubt in a lot of cases, because there's so making a film is so insanely complex, especially at that level where you have it's not just the director's film anymore for mainstream movies. There, it's the studio's film. It's very much a studio's film. It's a lot of people's film. It's not really the director's film anymore. And a lot of people like to place blame on solely the director.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And it's not like that anymore. It's not that simple. And it's not the one thing that you can hold on to and just destroy a film over just that one thing. It's strange, like, you know, with IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes, it really is just a black or white thing. It's either it's amazing or it's garbage, and it's just for this reason or whatever.
Well, you bubbled up another really cool idea, too, with that, Jesse, and the fact that, okay, let's say there is a performance that somebody does. You don't connect with it, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean that it's bad.
That just means that
you didn't. I mean, there's a lot of stuff I see and hear that I don't connect with.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my thing. But I always will give it a chance to at least appreciate it for what it is, especially with acting. That's an easy one to do.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen plenty of performances where I'm like, not my thing. But you know what? It's not bad. It's good. It just isn't my thing, right?
Right. Yeah.
I think the problem that people, a lot of reviewers have, is differentiating that idea that, look, I didn't identify with this.
I'm glad you said that.
But it's still good. It just isn't my thing. Therefore, I'm not going to shit on this film. It's a damn good movie. Just not my thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? That's where and it's tough. That's a hard line to walk. I know. I sympathize, because I think we're challenged with that every day here. But I think to be a good reviewer, that's something you really have to master, is that idea and be able to put that on paper.
Well, I'll go back to my Divergent review. What was the last one? Allegiant.
Is that what? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I even said this basically in my review of that movie. Shailene Woodley, you deserve a lot better. She's a great actress. Mm-hmm. She is a really, really good dramatic actress. But when she's thrown into a product that sucks goat balls, you know, you can only make so many excuses.
Yeah.
You know, she can't hold up shitty material, I guess, is my point.
Mm-hmm.
But when you put her in a movie like The Descendants, she was awesome in that, especially because she was only like 15, 16 years old when she made that movie. And then
Fault in Our Stars, is that was
she was good in that.
Is that the name of it?
Yeah, yes. Fault in Our Stars. And then she was in a movie a lot of people haven't seen, White Bird in a Blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
She's phenomenal in that movie. So when I wrote that review, it was like, you deserve far greater than this. And I can say that. I can judge her shitty acting because she's got a shitty director versus being in a good movie with a good director and a great story to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's something that a lot of critics are guilty of, is forging these like very like almost personal vendettas against an actor or a filmmaker.
That is so
because
psychotic.
Of
and that's
things
fucked.
Like well,
that's
it's
fucked.
Like, you know, like in like the. The conversation in Birdman, where he is talking to the critic at the bar, and she says, like, it doesn't matter what your performance is like, I'm going to give your play a bad review because it's you. That happens a lot, and we've seen actors' careers get destroyed because they were in a really high-profile, bad role. Like, I mean, look at, like, you know, like, the one I always think of is, like, Hayden Christensen. Yes, he did it. He gave a terrible performance in those Star Wars prequels. If you watch Shattered Glass,
oh my God,
he's so good in that movie.
He's so good.
And
in
then
that
he kind of just never got a chance to be good again, or it's taken people like, you know, like Kristen Stewart years to get even like the chance to be taken seriously after Twilight, even though before Twilight, the whole narrative of her was she's this really talented actress who's really going to go places. Mm-hmm. And then Twilight came out, and everybody's just like, well, fuck her. And like they just, they have like their guns out to go after her every movie she's in. Even like, well, don't you remember a few years ago when we all thought she was great? Like, no, Twilight.
Yeah. So, yeah. That's, well, same thing happened to Ben Affleck there for a while, too.
Ooh.
I mean, he did Geely or whatever. In a couple, Daredevil. Was the other one? Phantoms?
Oh, yeah, that too.
He
was the bomb in Phantoms.
His career was in the total shitter, and then he switched to directing and did what? The Town?
The Town is so fucking awesome.
The Town, and then he did the one with his brother.
Yeah, but The Town, he wrote, directed, and starred in it.
Yep.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he turned it all around, too. You know, he dug out of that hole the critics put him in. Who else is there? I mean, there's...
A lot. There's Ryan Reynolds was in there for a while until Deadpool. But that's a really good segue into the other hemisphere of criticism is, like, Redditors and anonymous social media, where everyone has an opinion now. And what's really bizarre to me as well is... It seems like when a movie comes out that is widely panned, let's say, there are more expert filmmakers that come out of the woodwork than there were before.
Yeah.
And it's obviously 90% of you people have no idea what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone becomes a critic, and everyone thinks that they're a critic. Being a critic, I wouldn't even say I started to become okay at it until maybe a year ago. And I think I'm okay at it now. A lot of people that haven't written a review in their lives, who haven't dedicated time and thought to this and serious consideration to how films are made or how art is produced or what the business is like, are claiming that they have these lofty and important criticisms for a film, and you don't. Your opinion is valid because everyone's opinion, you can have one. That's fine. But everyone thinks that they are an expert. I'm sorry, not everyone, but a lot of people do come out and think that they are an expert.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Scott.
No, go ahead.
And this leads to a lot of bandwagon jumping onto the bandwagon where some person says something that's witty and funny and really spiteful, and everybody's like, yeah, that's hilarious and mean. And North America, we're very cynical people. We're very sarcastic people. And people jump on that, and they love it, and they just keep regurgitating it, and it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it snowballs into hell, and it does things like that to Ben Affleck and Kristen Stewart. And
well, then they become memes.
Yeah, and it gets so out of control that the hive mind ends up almost destroying a career, or making someone or a film look far worse than it really is.
Yep.
So Jupiter Ascending really wasn't that bad.
Oh God,
that's a terrible example for that.
Yeah,
because it really is horrendous.
Although I mean, now it's making me think again of The Serpent and the Rainbow, and that's sort of an odd case of where this sort of thing with the internet sort of redeemed a movie in a way. Well, like at the time, I mean, this is another interesting change, kind of an aside, is that like. You know, in the 80s and 90s and whatnot, like the professional critic for the newspaper or the TV station was like the arbiter of taste.
Mm-hmm.
And there weren't these other voices. And so that was a movie that like people latched onto for kind of petty reasons. Just like, oh, Wes Craven's adapting this nonfiction book. How fucking dare he? And I've read zero star reviews of that movie from when it came out.
Wow.
And they don't get past like... Wes Craven turned this nonfiction book into a horror movie. How dare he? What the hell? And they don't even talk about its merit as a movie. And then, like you said, Jesse, it became like this trendy thing. Like, oh, if you want to sound like a cultured, well-read person, you're going to talk about how The Serpent and the Rainbow is this notoriously disrespectful adaptation of a book, even though you've never fucking seen it. And I mean, that was just like, it was the cool thing to do, was hold that up as like the most disgraceful adaptation ever. But then, you know, the internet age happens and there's this more democratization of film criticism, and you see people starting to say, like, hey, you know, that actually was really good, right? And then, like, all these myths about the movie, like, oh, it was just, like, shitting all over the author's book. Like, no, the author was there on the set. He was involved in the production, like, and then it gets turned around in a way, and now, like, all of a sudden, it goes from like a zero star movie to now it's like clawing its way up to like it's almost at 70% at Rotten Tomatoes now.
Same thing happened with Citizen Kane and Blade Runner was another one too.
Yeah, yeah.
People didn't like either of those movies when they first came out, and now Blade Runner is considered the penultimate cyberpunk film. Citizen Kane is considered one of the greatest films of all time, if not the best, according to some people.
That has been, I've read that, where this is the greatest film ever made in the last like 5-10 years.
What about Howard the Duck though?
Fucking twice in one show.
Twice in one show. Howard the Duck rules. He's got big duck titties, yo. They're almost nicer than Jennifer Connelly's. Yo, get in the bath, rub my duck titties.
Oh, quality, the quality of the material just dropped so low.
It's okay.
We sounded like intelligent people for a minute there.
going back for a second, though, Christian, and you did mention something a few minutes ago about these vendettas that people get. Let's say to an actor. This could be towards a director. This could be towards anybody, really.
Yeah.
But let's just, for argument's sake, to an actor, and I've seen this happens in all walks of art, obviously, I won't even say it's borderline psychotic. That is fucking psychotic how someone could, you know. And I mean, I know from personal experience that I've had this happen to me, where I have an arch rival and it's kind of like, well, fuck that guy, but I wonder what he's up to. You know what I mean? Yeah. Fuck that guy, but I wonder what he's up to. And that's the same thing being applied here. Like, well, I absolutely despise Jennifer Connelly as an actress, but I'm going to watch every single movie she's in just for the opportunity. Well, maybe not even watch him. Oh, she's in Shelter? Fuck that movie. I hate that movie, and I hate Jennifer Connelly. And so that there is, it's just this weird obsession that I think people have. I don't think it's hatred. It's obsession.
Yeah.
Right? Psychotic. Not stable, right? Whereas, I mean, I've seen actors and actresses where they weren't very good in that movie. But, hey, they're in another movie, and they're mm-hmm. like we said that. They're great here. They're great there. You don't need to name names. It's just a situation you're in, right?
Yeah.
And I don't have an answer to that. I can't. I'm just trying to dissect it and try to understand it. Why? And that, I mean, I hate to keep going back to that documentary called Heckler, but that gets into a lot of this shit.
Yeah.
It totally gets into and like he talks to people saying, so it says right here that you said I should be thrown into a wood chipper.
Wow.
And like, in front of the guy. And you know, I don't know, I'm not doing that verbatim, but an idea like that. And he looks at him and goes, why would you say that about me? So you don't like my comedy. So you don't like my acting. Why do you hate me so much? And they're like, cause I think it's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's fucking hilarious to say that about you and get a rise out of you. And that's what they're getting. I mean, this guy is actually taking the time to go meet these people and go, what the hell is your problem with me, right? They're getting it. They win. They won. They're getting what they want. Like any schoolyard bully or anybody trying to get a rise out of you by talking shit, right?
Yeah, that's they all they want.
They want to get a rise, right? But it's also fun to see somebody get called on their shit, too. To these people's credit, at least they owned it. At least they're not cowering down. They're going, no, I'm going to stand by what I said. You're an asshole, and I hope you die. Crazy? Yes. Psychotic? Yes.
Yes.
Honest? Nuts. Yes.
Yeah, that's just way, 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 way too far.
And
I mean, basically, you know, Reddit is a great tool. It can be a great tool getting your stuff out there, connecting with people. There's great political boards on there. There's all kinds of cool shit on Reddit, but Reddit is almost like a central hub for people that want to be hecklers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, that's what it's coming down to.
They latch onto something and they just will not let it go. And those people, you know, I don't want to rip on Reddit because, again, I think it's a valuable website and a valuable social space and all that. And it's a great tool for a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those people on there, man, it's actually kind of astounding how far they will go to tear you down.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's what I said earlier, though, is that sometimes I think people are more prone to be entertained by, let's just say it for what it is, the heckling that happens towards a movie than the actual movie itself.
You're part of something. You feel important.
Exactly. You belong to something. Well, join the fucking Crips then. I don't know what to tell you. I mean, if you want to belong to something so bad, because that's really, that's what it is. It's camaraderie. Oh, yeah, fuck that movie. Yeah, fuck that movie. Yes. Hey, we don't like that movie. Well, we should have a beer sometime and make love. I don't know, right? But... That's what it comes down to. And I mean, I don't want to shit on Reddit either, but that's what I've always seen on there is it's cool to hate on stuff.
Yeah, well, that's not just Reddit, though. That's any site where you discuss movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like IMDb is the same thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, well, I, you know, tried to give a positive counterexample of a movie that was sort of redeemed by that same thing. Most of the time what you see, like you guys said, is like this really... spiteful bandwagon thing, which is like people
of experts.
Just like,
they're all experts.
Yeah, like
it's I don't know. All this stuff is so strange to me. It's weird that people can latch onto something so negative that is just this whirlwind of negative energy. It's really I don't know how. Whoops, sorry. I don't know how.
Fuck Jesse, he hit the mic. What a dick.
Ruin the whole fucking podcast. This podcast is shit.
We're gonna be picketing in front of your house tomorrow.
I don't know how people can feel good about being that negative all the time. It's really weird. And it keeps going and going and it doesn't stop. It goes on for weeks and months. For like Batman vs Superman, it's still going. People are still just absolutely. Just vicious about this. They're just out for Zack Snyder's head. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, and it makes fandoms for things such toxic places.
Yeah.
Like, you know, when I was, you know, writing the Doctor Who reviews, I stopped going on that fucking message board except to just post the reviews and get out. Because it was like an entire message board of people who are allegedly fans of this show complaining about how it's the worst thing ever. And what's weird is you see this cyclical thing where every season is the worst season ever, but then when the next season happens, nostalgia takes over and people realize how good the previous season was, and there are people who are like, oh, this era was so good. Like, I remember when you thought it was the worst thing ever and you were biting people's heads off for liking it. And it's so weird.
Well, go ahead. You know, I was the same way with The Walking Dead. I mean... Season 5, I was just like, fuck this show. This show sucks. This is the worst season yet. Everything about it, shit. The acting is shit. The story is shit. Oh, look, they're repeating the same storylines again. Oh, just total fucking character assassination all over the place. Now, Season 6 came along, and it was like they took everything that was wrong and fixed it and improved on their character development. I improved on their storytelling. They kept the show moving at a much brisker pace. And repeatedly in my reviews, I said, hey, you know what? I thought last season 5 sucked ass, but this season's much better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can be honest with yourself and you can be honest with your readership or whoever is reading your reviews and say, hey, you know what? I shit all over this last year, but now this year, it's really cool to see the improvements, you know? Not that anybody at AMC or The Walking Dead gives two shits about what I say, but...
That's what I heard.
You know, you know, sometimes you can take that negativity and you can spin it. Yeah. And that's kind of what I try to do.
Well, that's being a level-headed person who's applying logic to something, going, okay, I'm not just going to hate this from here on out. I'm going to give it a chance.
Right.
And to your point, Jesse, I was thinking, this has been kind of just the hamster started running around my head. You were talking about this idea.
That's actually a gerbil in your ass.
You're right. Damn, dude. You were talking a minute ago about this idea, and also you, Chris, of this, you know, what's with all the negativity, right? There's an actual idea. Dr. Nancy Ogren, a lady I talked to in my past life for something, me and her had a conversation about this, and her whole trip was, she's like, in life, there's this thing called chaos drama, right? And the idea of that, and I'm not going to, this does tie in. I swear to God it does. But chaos drama is just the idea. Like, for example, you go have breakfast with somebody and you sit down and go, so how's your life going? And then the other person goes, oh, fuck me, I'm getting divorced. Goddamn job. Mm-hmm. I got a flat tire this morning on the way here. And you kind of, you bitch, right?
Yeah.
That's chaos drama, right? Have you ever tried to have a conversation the exact opposite? And I've actually tried this. It's very difficult. So how's your morning going? Or how's life, Scott? Dude, you know, things are cool. You know, there's this little thing here. But, you know, work's going great. No money problems. I feel good. I'm healthy. I mean, I have my health. I'm happy. I feel good. I'm positive. I'm feeling good about things. That's a very short fucking conversation, mind you, right? I mean, it's very quick. That's probably the problem, I think, is that we might use this idea of chaos drama to fill a lot of holes in our lives, right? You bitch about a lot of things you don't like. And it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to find camaraderie in that. We've discovered that tonight. So if you remove that chaos drama element out of this whole thing when it comes to movies, right? And then you're only really left with, well, what did I like about? What's the positive stuff that I like about the movie? Well, that's just not cool to do. It's the bottom line. We know that. That isn't the cool thing to do. The cool thing to do is to shit all over it and find every bad thing you can find. That's really, I mean, and that's an opinion from stuff that I've experienced in life, right?
Well, I think that's just the way it is. Like, for instance, in here, if I were to just take a hammer and start breaking everything, it's really easy to do that.
Yeah.
For me to fucking put together one of these amplifiers or speakers or something
task.
Like, oh yeah, for me to actually create one of these things would take an insane amount of time. I have no idea how to do it in the first place.
It'd take years.
Oh yeah, it's way far easier to destroy than it is to create.
Absolutely. And I mean, that's a very
and
big
destroying shit looks cooler. So
yeah,
well, to some people,
yeah.
It boils down, I think, to a very basic primal instinct that the hive mind doesn't know how to overcome yet. I don't know if we ever will. I'm not sure. That's a
destruction
point.
Scares me. We were having this conversation today. I like to destroy stuff. I like demolition, like the house stuff. I love demo. I'm like, demolition makes my stomach turn. I don't care if it's being thrown out. It makes my stomach turn, right? And that's a whole mantra, right? This whole idea. It's bigger than just, well, that movie sucked ass. You know what I mean? You're allowed to say that. But are you just saying that because it's the easy thing to say and you're not, and you don't have to put thought into that? It's very easy to say something sucks. It's very hard to say something, it isn't for me, and here's the reasons why it isn't for me. That takes time. That takes thought. And if you want to be a film reviewer, and I'm a novice at best, okay? I'll say that right out. But if you want to be a film reviewer, I think those are the tools you have to have, is that coming in that headspace, not coming in on the bottom floor. I'm going to start with zero and work and see where we end up at.
Yeah. Right?
Come at it from the viewpoint, and I'm getting preachy, but come at it from the viewpoint of, this is a piece of art. This is so fucking cool. I'm going to get experience this piece of art. And you know what? It may not, at the end of this, it may not be that great. But I've got to experience this thing, so I want to start from the highest point I can and work my way from there, right? That's a beautiful way to come at it, Jesse. I mean, I love that idea. So, all right, I'm shutting the fuck up now, and I just hit the mic. Fuck Scott! Fuck him! He just screwed the podcast up.
But yeah, no, that is a really good, like what you said, Jesse, about going into a movie, starting out assuming, like, okay, let's start assuming it's a perfect 10, and then let it sort of knock itself down. Yeah, that's a really good philosophy, and I think yeah, too
Thank
many.
You. Thank you.
Well, this is all, and it's all a utopian type idea too. Like, we could, it would be nice to live in a world where people are like, have this idea, like, well, look, you know, I'm not going to like everything, but I'm going to appreciate everything that comes at me, no matter how crappy it might be. That's just an impossible task to get everybody to think like that. I know we can't think that way. And I guess that's what makes things interesting. It makes a conversation like this very interesting, too, is that you do have these fucking maniacs out there who live. This is what they do for, this is what they do for hobbies, to shit on movies.
Oh, dude. I'm a member in that, that Planet Geek group on Facebook.
Yeah.
And there was a guy in there. I mean, this guy, no matter what you posted, he wanted to latch onto you and attack you. We had the Darren Aronofsky piece, you know, a year ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I posted
everything
in there.
He does is complete crap.
Yeah. And this guy was just like, you're crazy if you think Darinofsky's a great director. He sucks. He's one of the worst ever. Anybody that thinks that guy's a good director is an asshole. Blah, 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 blah. Going on. And I'm like, this dude's insane.
Yeah.
And he kept going on and on and on about it for like 2 days. So finally I was like, you
so
know what?
What do you like then?
What do you like? I have the tool to block you. So that was it. Like I can't process your negativity about somebody I admire for this long. You're going on and on and on and on about it. And you're latching on to me and you're messaging me about it and commenting on it. You know what? Seriously, go back in your mom's fucking basement.
Yeah.
Fucking suck a dick. Put a fucking gun in your mouth. Because I don't need it anymore.
Holy shit.
Well, that's a problem. That is a problem right there. Is it, you know, again, we've said this over and over again. There is, everybody's got an opinion now. That's totally great. That's totally awesome. Wonderful. You're allowed to say, I don't like Darren Aronofsky's films. I don't like.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
You're allowed to say, okay, I'm not into them. They're not my thing. That's cool. But to go that extra mile, maybe you're an overachiever, I don't know. But to go that extra mile and say, if you like Darren's films, then you're a complete asshole. What the fuck is that gonna accomplish?
Nothing.
What is it? Where does that get you?
Yeah.
Nothing at all. Nothing. Nothing.
And it's that idea, like, and that's what your point, that's okay, fine. Okay, cool. You don't like it. That's cool. But then day two comes. Fuck that guy. He's a total piece of shit. I hope he gets thrown into a wood chipper. That seems to be the
motif. And then puts a gun in his mouth.
Day three. Fuck that guy. I hope his whole family gets killed in a car wreck and a fucking car fire. Fuck. Day four. And then just keep going. That's what it's. Okay, dude, look. Now you're just being intrusive. That's a real issue. I don't get
just
that.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go. I can hate a movie as much as I want to hate it. And if you ask me about it again, I will tell you how much I hate it. But never, ever in a million years will I latch onto your Facebook page or, you know, your Reddit post or your IMDb post or whatever and personally attack you about it via my fucking keyboard.
Yeah, I didn't even think about that. That's
what. Does that
creepy.
Do for you?
Like, I didn't think about it from that perspective, from the other end. Like,
creepy.
What would I read someone's review and just hammer on the caps lock and just go to town on destroying everything you are as a writer? And
well, yeah. Are we going to start doing reviews on reviews?
That yeah, it's
yeah.
Is that the next step here?
I've actually commented back to people that exact thing before. Oh. Are you reviewing our reviews now? Maybe you should start your own website.
Do it!
And be, you know, www.reviewsonreviews.fuckmymother.com. Whatever. Seriously. These people are insane, and I can't take it. I can't take it. So
I've experienced this in the past with, you know, like with Ghostly Talk, for example. We had people literally contact us and say, you guys suck. Which we did. We were fucking terrible when we started. I had no problem with that. It's cool. I said, great. You're basically speaking the obvious right now, but okay, great. You don't like us, that's fine. Tell you what, do your own thing.
Yeah.
Do your own thing. And a couple of these people did. And they were very good. And we were friends.
Well, I've always...
That's cool.
That is cool.
That's very cool.
I've always had a problem with that, of people that critique but don't do anything.
Oh, it's easy.
And it's like, and me and Jesse, we've talked about that before, you know, comments on Reddit or whatever. And it's like, Jesse's like, just leave them alone. Because once you bite, once they get their hooks into you you comment back, it's like you just brought out the entire swarm of creepers, man. They like are on you like
you hit the hive with the stick, man.
Yep.
Literally.
That's something that's really hard for me to get over, too. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing to come at it from this perspective. And I don't know. Maybe someone can play devil's advocate for me and try to see what it's like from the other side. But like what Chris George was saying, I find it really hard to find validation in a lot of opinions of people who don't actually... who don't actually do any writing or any creation of any kind or aren't artists or haven't experienced what it's like to be an artist or hasn't been on the set of a movie or hasn't tried to write their own movie before. When you don't have any concept of how this stuff is made, personally, I really don't care what you have to think. Honestly, your opinion doesn't mean anything at all to me.
Yeah, I mean, that is an interesting point. I guess I wouldn't go as far as to say that I...
Yeah, please tell me how I'm wrong, because I have a hard time seeing outside of that.
Well, I mean, I guess I would say, like, I don't require people to have made movies themselves, but, like... read a book about how films are made, study the craft, know what's behind it. Like, there are, I mean, like, when I was in college, I did, like, you sort of asked about this before, like, I did read books about film criticism and took a class on film criticism, and, like, the thing that's really emphasized a lot that I think is what a lot of people miss and I think is what you're getting at is, like, a review isn't did you like it or not. A review is like, here are all the different types of artistry that go into a film and all the different levels of craft. And like, you have to make some attempt to analyze it objectively based on how it is constructed, like as art and as technology. And I mean, I guess I wouldn't, like, there are reviewers I really like who haven't made films, as far as I know, who aren't artists themselves, but they've made it their business to be knowledgeable about it and know what they're talking about. I mean, if you're writing reviews, like, treat it like you're, like, writing a paper that's gonna be, like, you know, like a paper you're turning in for a class or whatnot. Yeah. Like, there should be criteria, and, like, do your homework.
All you gotta do is take in... I'm sorry, Jesse.
Go ahead.
All you have to do is just watch some bonus material on any one of your DVDs, making of type things. There will illustrate the struggle that goes into making a film. I mean, I'm not anyone in particular. I mean, there's
across the board.
Across... You see all these really... And I sometimes find those documentaries on the movies themselves as interesting as the movies they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Sometimes they can... oftentimes, they can make you appreciate a film more that
they
you
can,
didn't
before. Absolutely.
They
can put a lot of things in perspective for you, you know, where these people were at the time and what they went through to make this thing happen, what you're looking at now. That brings a level of appreciation that also educates you to a certain degree, right? And can give you some type of baseline, some type of foundation to review films on. I mean, a little bit of education, I think, is cool. I agree. I don't think you have to be a filmmaker to have...
No, you're right. Totally.
But you, I think you have to have some kind of knowledge coming in to do a proper review.
Right. For me, it's mostly just anybody that creates anything, really, or has a passion that they're pursuing. I would like to more hear what a person like that feels about it. Even if you're really into music, you're a studio musician, you're trying to make it as an artist, I'd like to hear what you have to say about a movie more than someone that doesn't have any artistic background at all.
You're 100% right. I mean, across the anybody anybody who's there's people here that know that. We all know that. The struggle that goes into doing any kind of art. When you're trying to produce anything of quality, I mean, the best quality you can put out, it's It's mind-numbing at times. It's painful. It's frustrating. It's soul-crushing. It's a lot of things. And you need to have that. You're right, 100%. You need to have that happen to you. You need to experience that to really appreciate what goes into just making a movie, for example, right? It could be anything. So, broad across the board, that's a great idea. But you can't, with Reddit or the internet itself, you can't regulate that. You can't. It's impossible. Anybody can make a review.
I think when people are first getting into criticizing film, some people, it doesn't apply to everybody, but for me, it applied to me, definitely. When I was first getting into film criticism, it was a very selfish endeavor. It was about how many words can I throw on here? How funny can I be? That kind of thing. After a while, I couldn't even tell you when this started happening. It was probably just something that happened over time. But after a while, film criticism is entirely not that for me anymore. It is still a selfish thing. All art is selfish. But when I go to see a movie, that's the selfish part for me. I'm going to enjoy a movie. I really want to enjoy a movie. I hope that I enjoy it. And when I'm actually critiquing the film, it's different. It changed for me. And like I said, I don't know where, but it changed for me into something that of a service that I owe people. And I really hope that by the end of a review that I've written after you've read it, that you feel more informed about whether you want to see it or not. That's what I want to do. I don't care so much about saying some funny, witty shit about how bad an actor was or whatever. I mean, I'll do that probably sometimes, but that's not why I do it. I try to balance my reviews personally, and I try to make it so that somebody reading it, number one, isn't going to be spoiled for anything at all when they're reading it, and number two, I want them to have fair expectations. I want them to have a level head when they go in, and I want them to be able to hopefully appreciate it even more than I did. That's all I want to do. And I'm not doing it like back when I did like that Speed Racer review back in the day. Oh my God. It was just me berating other people for not liking the movie and all this other shit. And it just changed over time. But my point is that if you haven't been doing this a long time, and I've been very seriously doing it for about 5 years, longer, maybe 10 years, film criticism. When you first get into it and you don't know much about the industry or how, you know, things really work, I guess, you're really doing it just to sound cool and have fun screaming about stuff. And that's funny and it's easy to do. But after a while, you start to take it more seriously and you can start to have a more level head about it.
Yeah,
what that is passion and maturity in the craft. That's what that is, Jesse. I mean, you develop a passion. It's what it is. That's a compliment.
Thank you.
That's a total compliment. That is. I mean, anybody who puts time into something, you're gonna grow over time. And you said that you're like, well, I just since the last year, I think I'm doing okay reviews. You know, so you're obviously you're watching yourself. You're looking at what you're doing. You're guiding yourself and you're
well, I
being
look at
your
everybody
own worst
here.
Critic.
Yeah. I read everybody's reviews here and I try to see like what you're doing, Chris J or Chris George, and I try to see what everybody's doing and try to make myself better that way.
The way it's funny, the way I look at reviews now is completely different from before.
Mm-hmm.
Before, again, it was the same thing, throwing words at the screen
as
quick as I could. Now, I have a very strict formula. I try to stick to 4 paragraphs, maybe 5. But when I write a review, the biggest thing I'm thinking about now, and maybe this is bad, I'm thinking if somebody's going to read my review, I'm telling them whether to A, spend that money or not spend that money, and B, spend the time with that movie or TV show or not spending that time with the movie or TV show. I want people to read it and go like, you know, this doesn't sound like something I want to drop $12 at the movie theater to see. I'll watch it on Netflix. I don't want to tell you ever really don't watch a movie, because I think you should experience it for yourself. Because you may have a completely different opinion than I do. But my biggest thing is, and I've told Andrew this before, and a couple other people, like, I'm not really sure how to write this review, or, you know, how should I attack this? And I've always told people, think about it as you're saving people money. Maybe that's bad. I don't know. But it's kind of the way I look at it in a lot of ways. Like, I want somebody to tell me, is that, you know, a valuable thing for me to go see, or is it not?
Yeah, no, that is definitely an interesting point. But yeah, but no, you're right that it's not like, don't see this under any circumstances. You have to, like, give people the knowledge that they need to determine whether it's worth it for them, because it's such a personal thing. Yeah. And that's why, like both of you guys said, Chris and Jesse, yeah, like, you have a responsibility to give them the knowledge to make that decision, but, like, inform them, and you're not just like, oh, well, here's what I thought. Like, you have to really, like, you know, analyze and argue for or against the film, and, you know, kind of lay out its merits. Like, you almost, it's like you have a responsibility, like, almost as journalism. And I think that's sort of how we all approach it now.
I don't think there's a black and white way of, you know, doing film criticism. I don't think there's the one way you should or shouldn't do it, really. If somebody wants to approach it a different way, that's absolutely up to them. And whether you take their review seriously, that's up to you. If somebody just wants to review something based on how they feel about it 100%, and they're not considering how others will look at it, or how others will receive the review, or how others seek to be informed by a review, whatever. If that's not your thing, fine, whatever. That's cool. But yeah. But for me, it's when I'm doing a review, strictly just a review, when a film has first come out, that piece is strictly for informing a reader and informing somebody whether it's worth them spending the money and the time or not. That's all I'm doing. We have tons of amazing opinion articles on the Movie Sleuth, I think. A lot of those I don't write. And a lot of those, Chris Jordan, you write those. Andrew writes those. Lee writes those. They're amazing articles. And I think that's a beautiful time for looking at a film in a more personal way. Mm-hmm. And I adore that. But for me personally, the first review, that first week that a movie's out, my review is strictly to inform people. That's all it is.
Yep.
Yeah, but even in the, you know, more opinion things that I'll write about movies that I really love, I try to adhere to that too. Because, I mean, still, like, you know, I'm writing a review, assuming that most people reading it might not have seen the film. So first of all, obviously the spoilers, but yeah, the same thing, like, okay, like, I here's why I like it, but here's, you know, how you should judge if this film is for you or not.
Yeah. I've been doing that a lot more too lately. Like, for example, in the last Batman vs Superman review, there's maybe a large paragraph or two fairly big paragraphs about Jesse Eisenberg's Lex Luthor. Me personally, I thought Jesse Eisenberg did a great job as that character, and it really just depends on how you look at it, and that's just kind of how I put it. You're either going to hate him or you're not going to hate him, and I didn't knock the film at all for that. It's just something I appreciated what Jesse Eisenberg put into the film, and I appreciated that he kind of made it his own thing, but he is still Jesse Eisenberg, and you're just either it is what it is, and I just don't feel comfortable in that circumstance to really say that it's a huge negative against the film. That's one of those kind of things, a gray area where it's just hard for me. If it is a gray area, I can't say that it's necessarily an outright bad thing. Mm-hmm. And again, when we were talking earlier about Rotten Tomatoes and how if a film is okay, it's just bad, and how there really isn't a nuanced review scale anymore. It's just 7 to 10. Anything below 7 is bad. And I don't know, at least I think at the Movie Sleuth, we try to be very fair with our reviews and try to be more, not necessarily forgiving, but more understanding of the film as a whole, not just based on a couple of negative things, but I don't know.
No, that's the fair way to come at it. I mean, I think any piece of art's going to have something worth merit. I mean, it's going to have something that you can appreciate.
Yeah.
I don't care what kind of art it is. There's going to be something there you can identify with or you can appreciate. And so, fine, the whole thing isn't great. But there's something there that you can go, yeah, that's really cool. And that doesn't deserve, in my opinion, for somebody to be shit all over. Maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But not the entire thing. I think a lot of people it's an all or nothing type thing for people. Either they love it or they hate it. And a Sith only deals in absolutes.
Yes.
That's bullshit to me. I mean, life isn't that simple. I wish it was. Like, everything was just black.
It isn't.
It isn't. Especially when it comes to art. There's a lot of things, if you want to really appreciate, you have to take the time to really investigate it and understand it.
Before we move on to our little bit of movie news, I think we're pretty done with this at this point.
I think we've pissed probably a lot of people off.
Well, that's okay, though. That's okay.
Nah, yeah. I don't mean that
we
in a bad
way. We speak the truth.
But it's especially bad with how Chris J. started off. It's especially bad with a particular kind of genre, really.
Yeah.
I found myself trying to, and in futility, explaining some filmmaking techniques that were utilized in that movie. But because they were utilized in a mainstream film, people really didn't like that. And they thought it's bad filmmaking, when it is just a pretty traditional filmmaking technique that was used, to be very particular, the opening sequence with, now this is a very minor spoiler, the opening sequence with Bruce Wayne running from the funeral line. I guess there was they were walking to maybe bury his parents, I think, what was happening.
Yeah.
He runs away, and he falls into the hole, sees the bats, and he starts spinning and floating in the air. And as he's doing that, Ben Affleck is narrating, talking about how he floats into the light. And that's metaphorical foreshadowing. It's not anything new. It happens in a lot of films. It's just that it doesn't happen a lot in mainstream comic book movies. And I was explaining how it's really obvious what they're going for there. It's the source of his fear is the bats, and obviously he becomes Batman, and it's a symbol clearly of him, of what he pursues in his life and what leads him down this certain path. And it's a very dark, twisted path, and he's very frightened by it, but the bats lift him into the light, quote unquote. And by the end of the film, he makes a promise on Superman's grave. He's, I let him down in life, I'm not going to let him down in death. So that opening sequence is all a foreshadowing to the events of the rest of the film. People hated that, and they didn't because it wasn't outright explained what it is. Those are the exact words. That is bad filmmaking. It's just bad filmmaking because they don't explain what that means. That's just what it is. And it's like, no, it is this thing, and it's used a lot in films. That's all it is.
Foreshadowing.
Right. That's all it is, man.
Before we move on to this little bit of movie news, Scott's going to hate me and you for Friday night. Because after everybody left, we continued drinking, and we watched the original Hellraiser down here.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Fuck you.
It looks so good.
You know what?
It did. Those are the new Blu-rays you got, right?
Dude. That movie holds up so well. Like, we were watching it, and I'm like, seriously? Like, why? Why can they not make horror movies with practical effects and practical makeup still?
It looked that damn good.
Oh, my God. Those scenes of, like, him, what's the uncle's name?
Frank.
Frank getting the flesh back.
Yeah.
And he's all bloody and gross stuff.
Beautiful.
It looks so real, and the textures are amazing, and the coloration of the entire film. It's like, dude, this is what horror is about.
Yeah. Organic.
Organic
looking.
The entire movie looks like this disgustingly beautiful painting.
That's okay. Yep. I was literally on my last. I was running on fumes.
I know.
Yeah. I wouldn't have been worth a shit regardless. We had to take Dana home.
That first one, is that still in 4:3 ratio? That's how it was mastered, right?
It was 16:9.
Yeah, it was 16:9. The first one?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I borrow that then, please?
No, you can't because it's Region B.
I have Region B Born trilogy.
Yeah, you can borrow it then.
Okay.
Just don't damage my awesome artwork.
Dude, yeah. Anyway, we also watched, what is it, Jupiter Ascending?
Yeah.
That was really bad.
That was really, really bad.
Yeah, before again. We get in the news thing, that's another thing. Yeah, I gave it a 3 out of 10. or was it a 4? No, it was a 3.
What was the budget on that movie again?
Like $200 million. It was. Easy. Dude.
But it's another thing, too. I love the costume design in that movie.
It's beautiful. Yeah. It's beautiful looking.
It's fucking amazing. And it's all background characters. None of the lead characters, for some reason, got the same attention. But some of the costume design is fucking mind-blowingly cool. Like super surreal, really rad, ultra far future concepts. Like really out there stuff. So fucking cool.
Oh, yeah. I just want some of those Mog Moon boots.
It looked like flying with those would be a fucking nightmare to control.
It'd be
also
so fun, dude. And when you got four paws to do it with.
If you haven't seen Jupiter Ascending yet, please do. Please grab a lot of drinks, do a lot of shots, smoke a lot of weed if you got it. And
it was the fun kind of
and
bad
watch
movie.
Jupiter Ascending. Yeah, it is definitely even without getting totally hammered or high, that movie is still a blast to watch. It's so bad it's good.
It is this decade's Wing Commander.
Yes, it is.
So anyway, let's get into some news before we bounce out of here.
Where's the fucking typewriter at?
This movie I heard of a while back, but I haven't heard of anything from it lately. A movie called Guardians. That's the English title, Guardians. It's something else I don't know how to pronounce. It's a Russian superhero movie that looks pretty cool. If you haven't yet watched the trailer for it, it's just a teaser. It doesn't show you a whole lot, but it actually looks pretty fucking cool. There's like this Hulk-like wolf guy and this other guy that's like the Flash, but he has these like sickle-like blade weapons. And then there's this other girl that can like control water or something.
So she's wet?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And there's the villain looks like kind of like Whiplash from Iron Man 2, and he has the power to control like mechanical objects and stuff. It sounds a little corny on the surface, but it looks pretty rad. And then there is a clip that I highly recommend watching where you actually get to see the fast moving character with the blades in action, and he takes down this caravan of like Asians with machine guns. It's pretty fucking cool looking.
Sweet.
Definitely check that out. It's coming out, I think I read November. I didn't write it down in my notes, but I think it's coming out in November. That looks kind of fucking cool.
There's a horror movie I wanted to bring up too that Scott's going to be very interested in. It's called Baskin.
Oh, thought that was not very good.
I've not seen it.
Oh, that's why
yet.
He wants me to watch it, because he loves to fuck up like that.
I really wanted to see it. It is available on Amazon on demand.
It is on Amazon already?
It's not a bad movie. I watched it about a week ago. It's not a bad movie. I just thought it was okay. The color and the cinematography was excellent. I think it's a Turkish film, I think?
I can't, or is it Norwegian?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Either way, it's about seven cops, right, that go to hell.
No, not even.
You know what?
No.
No, the trailers make it look a lot wilder than it really is.
Okay.
It's a bunch of cops.
I've seen the trailer for that. I know what you're talking about now.
Okay. They get a call to go check out some bizarre condemned building.
Yeah, yeah.
And when they go in there, just some really fucked up shit's going on in there.
Cool.
It was okay. I definitely recommend checking out at least once. There's some really, really nightmarish looking material in it. Like when they first get in the building, I'm not going to tell you what they see or when they see it, But there's some really scary looking stuff. Like, it takes a lot to get a reaction out of me as far as horror movies go. And when I first saw this, I out loud I was like, oh, whoa. For real. It was like stuff from your nightmares, man.
Scott, but, go download that shit.
Wow.
Review it.
That makes me want to see it.
Yes, sir!
It just doesn't really go anywhere, though.
Okay.
There's like a big... It has a very like dark demonic cult sort of thing going on with it. If you're into that kind of stuff, definitely check it out.
Very cool.
But keep your expectations low. You might enjoy it more than I did.
Okay.
Okay. Cliff,
but it is available on Amazon on demand. Natalie Portman is out of Thor. And it's not like anybody's really going to miss her. Not that she's bad, because she's an incredible actress, but they didn't really care to give her much to do in those movies.
Yeah, she was just kind of...
Like, really, you get this amazing actress, and you just waste her on just being saying a couple of lines and, I don't know, touching Thor's butt. Like, that's it.
Taking the hammer.
Yeah, but anyway, she's out. Mission Impossible 6 begins filming this fall. Did everybody see Rogue Nation?
Yeah.
I did not. Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I wasn't really into it.
The last one I saw was 2, I
you
think.
You idiot.
I don't think I actually saw the others. I may have seen 3.
Oh, you got to see 3 and 4.
Please see 3. It is one of my... top like probably 5 action films ever made. I love that.
That's
movie.
One with Philip Seymour Hoffman as the villain. Yeah,
Philip
you
Seymour Hoffman.
It.
It's okay. Yeah, directed by J.J. Abrams. It's
okay.
Just so well plotted. It's not like the best action film. One of the best that I've seen in the way that Mad Max is one of the best I've ever seen.
Yeah,
it's just so. The characters are so relatable, and it's just such an easy film to watch. It's plotted really well. It just keeps going. It's really good. Really good movie. I watch it about twice a year. I love that movie.
You'll dig it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, Ghost Protocol was good, too. That was the one after it. It wasn't as good, in my opinion. A lot of people think it's better, but I think 3 I hold up on a really high pedestal.
Cool.
One I didn't hear about until today, Story of Your Life, also known as The Day They Arrive, is a alien contact film by Denny Villeneuve.
Villeneuve.
Whatever.
You know what, dude? Change your name. Make it easier for us to pronounce.
Come on.
You foreign bastard.
The director of Sicario, Prisoners, Enemy, a fucking amazing director.
Oh, dude, Prisoners is so good.
It's an alien contact movie with Amy Adams. I forget who else is in it. But I'm hearing really good things about it. Some people have said early screenings. A lot of people have said it's probably going to be like the best sci-fi movie of the year. And
whoa,
yeah.
I heard that Howard the Duck is starring with
Shut
her in that.
Shut the fuck up, Chris. Shut up.
But anyway,
thank you, Jesse.
I would love to watch him do just about anything.
Great.
If he makes the next Howard the Duck movie, I'm all about it.
Sweet. I'm in, y'all.
Yeah. That guy's amazing.
I want to see that.
Disney is going to put the original Star Wars trilogy back into theaters.
Big good for them. Fucking surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, gee. How many more billions do we want to soak up?
In other news, Disney loves money. there's no word, I don't know, I think, yet on which cuts they're using, but I have heard that it's the 1997 cuts, which aren't fucking terrible, but still not the OG stuff. By the way, if you do want to see the original Star Wars trilogy, do you know about this, Chris J?
The 35mm.
There's a group of guys... Oh, you have it. There's a group of guys out there who have dedicated... a painstaking amount of time and effort to restoring the original films as they were back when they first were projected in theaters. And from what I've seen, they've done a mind-blowingly amazing job on restoring
it. It looks awesome.
They've managed to find like 16mm prints of when they broadcasted it in like 1985 and like just crazy shit like that. They've been able to find all these prints that were like hidden away for years and able to restore the film. Dude,
those are the despecialized editions,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Oh my
yes.
God.
Yeah. And then yeah. Now wow. Have you, I think I told you, Jesse, about like just the original now, but somebody actually did a just straight up transfer of a 35 millimeter first run theatrical print.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. How?
They did it like frame by frame and cleaned it up. It took like 2 years or something. Yeah. It's only the first one.
Right.
But it is the most beautiful I've ever seen.
Considering
that film look.
How much Disney loves money.
Oh yeah.
I really hope they can do that to the holiday
dude,
special.
If they love money, and I know they love money, they will release those original cuts. They will everything in their power to be able to restore those and release them on Blu-ray. Dude.
Yeah, I mean, they can't. They're Disney. They can't let the fans do releases for free that are better than the official releases.
Come on.
Yeah.
Well, it's happening. I mean, it's already happened.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have a 35mm transfer print that looks beautiful. Disney just has to buy it off the guys. They did all the work.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder if they'll release it in 70mm.
The last bit of, I don't know, not really big news, but last bit of news I got is David Ayer finally commented on the Suicide Squad reshoots, quote-unquote. A lot of people, of course, saying Batman vs. Superman was garbage, so Warner Brothers is having him reshoot stuff or whatever.
False.
And David Ayer is like basically like, shut up. That's not what it is. We're not reshooting things to add more humor. He just came out and said, when your studio loves your movie and asks what else you want, go for it. So they're just adding better shit to the movie. So that's all that is. So David Ayer, thank you for clearing that up for all of the trolls out there on Reddit and everywhere else.
That's the first time that word's been mentioned this entire podcast.
Troll?
Yeah, strangely.
Strangely. Yeah. Holy shit.
But all those people that love to just jump all over anything and turn it into any piece of negative news they can, that's what it is. They're just adding to it. Anybody else got anything else to say before we bounce out of here?
Nope.
Okay.
I think we're good to go, folks.
All right. Hellraiser. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about today's show, send me an email to jgbarnes@spoilerfreemoviesleuth.com or message me on Twitter @thejgbarnes. Thank you.
Goodbye.
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 Bye.
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 Bye. Here's your hemorrhoid donut, Scott.
What?
This episode of Real Crime, the Movie Sleuth podcast, was brought to you by KN Air Filters. Find them at knairfilters.com.
Visit us at www.themoviesleuth.com and find The Movie Sleuth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and iTunes.